Welcome back to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. Nobody blinks at the sight of a bald man or one who has thinning hair or bear patches. If a man starts losing his hair as he grows older, it's accepted as a normal part of aging. Many women also experience thinning hair related to aging, but work hard to hide it. We expect the other signs of aging, such as wrinkles and gray hair, but hair loss often catches women off guard.
Here to discuss age-related hair loss in women and how to treat it is Dr. Maria Hordinsky, chair of the Department of Dermatology at the University of Minnesota Medical School and an international expert on hair disease and hair follicle biology. Welcome to Take Care, Dr. Hordinsky, and thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, there's no getting around the fact that our hair is a very important part of our appearance. And for many women, our appearance is very tied into our self-esteem. We have to deal with all the other physical changes we experience as we age, but thinning hair and losing one's hair is really hard to take. Is it inevitable that hair loss and hair thinning will be experienced by most women as they age?
I think you're correct. Most women will experience some change in their hair density or change in the perception of the quality of hair with aging.
Why? Why is that happening?
That change in hair density, quality, luster occurs for a variety of reasons. And sometimes it's just aging, and sometimes that change can be occurring because of underlying medical problems, hormonal changes, and even a genetic predisposition. So, for example, there will be women who start to get thinning hair very early in life, in their late teens or early 20s. And those women may have a genetic reason for that to happen. So that type of hair thinning occurs in their families. But then many women start to thin and get thinning hair in the perimenopausal period and then in the postmenopausal period. But as a woman ages, there also are other problems that can occur, other health-related issues. For example, changes in thyroid function, dietary changes may occur as women try different diets, either eating less protein or not getting enough iron in or perhaps overdoing it on supplements because, for example, if you take in too much vitamin A, you can get into trouble with thinning hair. So there can be explanations for the thinning process in a woman as she ages. But at the end of the day, all of us as we get older are probably going to experience some change in the quality and character of our hair.
How much hair loss is normal? And are women prone to losing hair in certain places? I noticed that I have the mid-center part thing going on. I feel like Moses could take people to safety across my so I start to part my hair on the side, and eventually I'll have a Donald Trump comb over, I'm sure.
Right. Well, let's talk about that pattern. So whether the thinning process starts out in the late teens or early 20s in the perimenopausal or postmenopausal period, there is a clinical phenotype or picture that starts to occur. And the classic one is that density on the top part of the head decreases. So when we examine the scalp, we look at that part width. And that part width may be described as being very tight, but then it gets wider. And part of the decrease in density and the appearance of thinning hair is that if you took a look at those 100 fibers in an area, for example, instead of all of them looking the same, they start to vary in diameter. And so you have thin ones and fatter ones, and it gives this impression of thinning. And you're absolutely correct. That thinning process in large part starts right in the middle of the head. In hormone-mediated hair thinning, a lot of women will experience retention or retainment of the frontal hairline. And that's what makes hair thinning that's hormone-dependent as well as age-dependent in women somewhat different from men. There's a different pattern that occurs. So many women can get very bald in the middle part of the scalp, but the frontal hairline could be intact and look quite good. Another characteristic pattern that might be seen with the thinning in the midfrontal scalp region is the appearance of like a little Christmas tree in the front. And that, too, is characteristic of thinning that occurs because of hormone-related changes in the skin. And it's important to step back here and think about these hormone-related changes because sometimes they could be related to changes going on in the ovaries or the adrenal glands, but the majority of the time, the change is occurring just in the skin, and the effect is just in the skin. In regards to how much hair loss is acceptable, in the literature, it'll state that you could lose anywhere from, say, 50 to 125 hairs per day. It's a broad range. So if you're someone who was shedding, say, 50 hairs per day, and then you went up to 100 hairs per day, that's double the number, and that's excessive hair shedding to that person, but it still might be considered within the normal range from a review of the literature. The other thing that can influence that shedding is frequency of shampooing. So one of the major issues that always comes up when dealing with women who have hair loss or hair thinning is as soon as they shampoo, they see this hair fall out, and so they stop shampooing, and then they shampoo their scalp maybe every week. And then when that happens, there will be probably 7 days worth of hair fibers that were going to fall out anyway, all coming out at day seven. And that really frightens the person who's experiencing this. So to try to figure out what that individual's true daily hair loss is requires more frequent shampooing and acceptance of the fact that on the day you shampoo, those fibers that were going to come out are still going to come out.
What about some of the hair tools some of us use, like blow dryers and curling irons and things like that? Can they really have a significant impact on hair damage and loss?
Good question. So if the heat is really high, and if you live in the northern tier of states and you have cold weather and get into below zero temperatures and the humidity is really low and you turn that hair dryer on high heat and that scalp feels nice and warm, that also is creating a little bit of inflammation in the skin and like a little burn. And so that can be associated with a negative effect on the hair follicle. The curling iron can also cause problems, but because these fibers, as they thin with aging, theoretically are probably a little bit more fragile. So when we examine the scalp and we see these hair fibers of different dimensions, different widths, the ones that tend to get the most damage will be the ones that are maybe 4 to 5 centimeters in length, and they're finer, thinner fibers, and they may show some breakage of the ends. And so you start to confuse what is hair thinning, what is hair breakage, and you have to sort that out. And if breakage is seen, then there might need to be a change in the tools that are used to style hair.
Dr. Hordinsky, we would love you to share with us some of the products that have been shown to have some success in either restoring new hair growth or fortifying. And I'm thinking of the shampoos that make claims that they can restore new hair growth. And also a friend of mine has been taking the supplement biotin, and she says that has really helped. Is there any science behind any of this stuff?
Well, there's really a lot of science about a number of things related to how to have healthy hair and good hair regrowth. So topical minoxidil or Rogaine has been approved by the Food and Drug Administration for women with thinning hair, and there is a 2% formulation that was approved. And coming this year, or later this year, there will be the announcement that the 5% has also been approved by the Food and Drug Administration for women. And in that preparation, you will have the drug presented to the skin in either a liquid formulation or like a mousse formulation. In terms of the shampoos, there really isn't a shampoo out there that is going to grow hair that's been scientifically proven, tested, and supported by an organization like the Food and Drug Administration. Where shampoos play a major role, though, is if the scalp is irritated, if there's a mild dandruff or seborrhea. If the scalp health isn't good, then there isn't going to be good, healthy hair regrowth. So shampoos are a very important tool in the management of a woman with hair thinning. In regards to biotin, this goes back to the previous conversation about internal problems or other medical problems. One has to really double check that there isn't any nutritional deficiency. And biotin is one of those supplements that has clearly been shown to help nails that are fragile. And when it comes to hair, the data in the literature is not as solid, but there is definitely a potential role for taking biotin if you have a hair thinning problem, and definitely if you have fragile nails. A good medical workup and taking biotin are essential. And last but not least, I'd like to comment about the laser comb, because we live in an era right now where a lot of people might have fragrance sensitivity or they don't want to be putting chemicals on their scalp. And light-facilitated hair growth can be beneficial. There are laser comb devices that you can buy online, and some of them have been approved by the Food and Drug Administration, again, as devices that can be used to treat thinning hair in both women and men.
Dr. Maria Hordinsky is professor and chair of the Department of Dermatology at the University of Minnesota Medical School. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.